The letters to the churches of Revelation 2 and 3 are taken by many biblical scholars to mean that this is the entirety of the church in successive stages, phases, or eras all the way down through history. Some churches try to trace their entire origin and all of their church history by assigning certain epochs or eras or ages, even getting down to dates and the names of church leaders, to various of these so-called phases or epochs or eras of the churches of Revelation 2 and 3. So beginning with Ephesus, then Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and all of the others, they say that each one came along after the other, succeeding the other, and that each one of these local churches actually represented a whole era or an age of the Church of God. There are many serious problems with that, not the least of which is the context itself, because the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation do not include all of the churches of God during that time, nor do they include the leading Jewish churches of God at that time, nor do they include the leading churches, including even the largest ones, of Jerusalem itself, Antioch in Pisidia, Thessalonica, Rome, or Corinth, so that most of the major churches where you have biblical literature, absolutely splendiferous biblical literature, complete with all of the problems extant in the churches at that time, Paul's rich writings to the church at Rome, to the churches of Corinth, the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and of course all that went on in the temple itself among the early apostles are left out of Revelation 2 and 3. Why would God cause these isolated churches, of which no one had ever heard until they're included and cataloged in Revelation 2 and 3. How many of you have heard in the writings of the Apostle Paul prior to turning to the book of Revelation about the church in Pergamos, for example, or about some of these other small cities on a Roman mail route in Asia Minor that are covered in Revelation 2 and 3? There are many, many reasons why these cannot be successive stages or eras. One of them is simple predestination or fatalism or predetermination. That would mean that no matter what the evils are that are applied to any given epoch, if you had the misfortune to be born and to be reared and to live in that particular day and age, you would have of necessity, if you became converted and you were a member of God's church, then you had to be included in the church at, let's say, Smyrna or Pergamos or Thyatira or Laodicea or Ephesus or some other. And you had no choice because that was the only church age that was extant at that time. Now, another one is, how do you go from a transitional period from one church age, so-called age, to another? Is it gradual? Well, if it is, then that means people of both spirits or both ages or both epochs are extant and alive and active in the same church at the same time. And yet God's Word says that the church is one body, that it is one spiritual organism, and that it is living and it is composed of living human beings in whom is the Spirit of God at any one given time. If any one of these churches can phase in or out of any one of the others, then all of them can do the very same thing and can be extant at the same time. On the other hand, if you make a clean break between one age and the next age, then it means that suddenly, almost overnight, instantaneously, as it were, the former age ceases from being God's true church, and the new one that comes along is suddenly God's true church. And yet that was not the way Jesus said the church was going to grow. He said the gates of the grave, the gates of hell, as it's translated, meaning Hades, or the grave, would never prevail against the true church of God. One of the most important reasons these do not represent epochs or ages or phases of the church is in the context itself. In each case, Jesus Christ of Nazareth says, "To him that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." The book of Revelation is a book for this latter time. It is a book basically for one age of the church. In the first place, we know that Revelation cannot be understood except by putting it together harmoniously with the book of Daniel. That Jesus Christ is the revelator, as we see in the beginning of this series of tapes, not John, that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave unto his servants to reveal, to show, not to conceal, to show his servants those things which must shortly come to pass. Yet, Daniel, in giving his prophecies, was kept from understanding what they meant. When he said what will be the end of these things, he was told to seal up the words, to close the book, that knowledge would be increased, many would run to and fro, and that it would not become known until the time of the end. If then, Revelation 2 and 3 represent a warning to all of the church phases, stages, epochs, or ages, down through the Middle Ages, let's say, through the Renaissance and the Industrial Revolution, but they were not to become revealed, they weren't even to become known to God's servants until this end time, then why did God write strong warnings to the churches, which supposedly were extant, the phase of the age of the church, such as Smyrna, Pergamos, and Thyatira, and yet never allow the people to whom that strong warning was directed to know what it said, because the words had not yet been opened or revealed to their understanding? Now, actually, as you read Revelation 2 and 3, these letters were written to contemporaneous bodies, local congregations that coexisted side by side at the same time. As you read of what they had to undergo, the attacks from those who said they were apostles and were not, those who claimed they were Jews and were not, those of the synagogue of Satan, those who practiced fornication and the eating of things sacrificed to idols, those who believed in the doctrine of Balaam, and those who followed the prophetess called Jezebel, you will see the doctrines of Simon Magus, of the Nicolaitanes, that insidious creeping doctrine that was everywhere extant within the churches of God during the end of the first century and the beginning of the second. And they had the same problems contemporaneously, one with the other. And repeatedly, in singling out these seven and these seven only, not including Jerusalem or Rome, not including some of the other major churches with whom the Apostle Paul dwelt, and not even including the major church, including a lot of Jewish people and proselytes and, of course, Gentiles over in the city of Babylon from whence Peter directed his letter. You see repeatedly, however, warnings about what was happening within the true church of God that was eventually going to result in it virtually disappearing from sight in ancient history at the end of the first and the beginning of the second centuries. So you're seeing not ages successively, one after the other of the church, but a general warning of many different problems affecting the church down through all ages, and the second and third chapters of Revelation must be taken to mean that we are to listen, to hear what the problems were those people had to face then, and to listen to the warning that says, let him that has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That means we today must hear what God said to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. We need to hear what was the warning to all of them and apply every one of those warnings to all ages of the church at all times. That's a brief explanation of how many people feel that there are certain ages of the church and like to assign the name, such as Sardis or Philadelphia or Laodicea, to a particular epoch or age of the church, which is not authorized in Scripture.